Now, from the makers of Coldwater Omo...
On a fine autumn morning in early October, the main thoroughfare of St. Catherine's, Suffolk, was unusually busy. A constant stream of traffic surged forward. Errand boys on bicycles swung in and out among delivery vans, farmers in lorries, businessmen in cars. In the middle of all this confusion sat a large, shining Bentley. It was rather conspicuous, but the occupants didn't appear to worry much. Behind the wheel sat John Steed, bowler at a jaunty angle and a well-manicured hand resting on the steering wheel. Beside him, carefully dressed in a tweed two-piece suit and looking extremely efficient, sat Mrs. Peel. Steed whistled tunelessly.
What a pretty little place.
Can't see much of it from this angle. It's not so little, either.
Shall we be staying long?
I hope not.
Oh, be rather nice. I think I'd like a whole weekend here. Put up at one of those country inns. Lots of healthy walks in the rain. Evenings spent in front of the open fire. Bed early, reading a harmless novel. That sort of thing. No chance?
No chance.
Then what exactly are we doing here?
Spy catching, Mrs. Peel. The appointment is for 12 noon. Unless we get out of this darn traffic soon, it'll be too late. Jimmy Merlin is never late. I only wish he were. I only wish he was the late Jimmy Merlin.
The Avengers.
John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
So many housewives have discovered that the cleaning power of Coldwater Omo gives them sparkling clean results. Mrs. Joyce Whelan of East London has this to say.
And I've tried it, and it works beautifully. I've tried it on my children's clothes, on the general wash, and I noticed straight away that things were cleaner. Since then, I've used nothing else but Coldwater Omo.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. Omo cleans best.
Beautiful Jill St. John knows the value of the creamy, moisturizing lather of Lux. Choose Lux to keep your skin soft and smooth. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode 1 of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel lay a trap, only to fall into it and not realize it until the morning after. John Steed managed eventually to find a suitable parking spot, and with the hands of the parish clerk pointing to 11:45, hurried Mrs. Peel along a cobbled street and into a large red brick building. From the various plaques and brass notices outside, it was clear that it housed a number of offices belonging to small business concerns. Steed let himself into an office on the second floor, marked the Poston Trading Company. Judging from the various articles, such as crates of toys, fishing tackle, electrical appliances, and gardening equipment, the Poston Trading Co. dealt in practically everything. Steed placed a small briefcase on a garden bench and moved swiftly to the window.
What a curiously jumbled place for a rendezvous.
No one else is likely to look for us here. It's neutral ground.
It's no ground at all. Not much carpet either. What makes you think that this Jimmy Merlin will turn up? Why are you so sure?
Money. Jimmy Merlin would sell his own aged grandmother if the price were right.
Well, if she's that old, I shouldn't think he'd get many offers.
He'll come. I've baited the trap well enough.
Speaking of bait...
Mrs. Peel removed a large fishing rod with villainous-looking hooks from an easy chair and collapsed into it.
Jimmy Merlin worked for us once, didn't he?
Us, them, they, practically anyone you can name. Whoever's willing to pay his price.
A double agent?
Multi-quadruple would be more accurate. The artiste superior of the double-double-double cross. But this time we've got him. I've waited so long for this meeting, I've got him at last.
If he shows up.
He's showing up.
Steed looked from the window down into the street. Walking on the pavement on the opposite side was a tall, athletic figure, immaculately dressed in a country suit and a green felt hat and walking stick. Without a glance upwards, he crossed at the traffic lights and made his way towards the building.
Jimmy Merlin, all right.
Steed left the window and moved swiftly to the bench where he'd placed his briefcase. Opening it, he removed a revolver and hastily checked it.
Firearms? That's not like you, Steed. Most unusual.
Well, this is a very unusual case. One doesn't take chances with Merlin. Not one. He's as devious, tricky, and cunning as anyone you'll ever meet. And dangerous. Deadly dangerous.
Any particular part that I should play?
Just play it cool and watch him all the time. Don't underestimate him as a killer, and don't be taken in by his particular brand of charm.
Shh.
This must be him now.
Who's he expecting to meet?
One of them.
To do a deal?
That's right.
What kind of a deal?
The footsteps stopped outside the door. The silhouette of a man appeared against the opaque glass panel. There was a pause and a knock.
No, not a move.
The knock was repeated, and then the silhouette moved away.
He's going away.
From a cash transaction? Never. Shh, look out.
The door crashed open. Merlin hurtled into the room. Steed leapt forward and grabbed him round the neck. Mrs. Peel grasped Merlin's right hand and held on to what she thought was a gun.
I told you he was tricky.
Dear, you're going to be disappointed, you know.
Mrs. Peel found herself holding a pipe. She closed the door.
You don't look the smoking type. Hello, Steed. Hardly expected to see you here.
Hello, Merlin. I know what you were expecting, Merlin. You see, I arranged the whole thing.
Wow. Did you now? Efficient, and I think you mentioned the word tricky. Well, it has a nice element of surprise. I particularly admire your choice of partner. Fast and quite lovely. Remarkably so. How do you do? Jimmy Merlin is the name.
How do you do? Steed didn't exaggerate about you.
Oh, please, don't believe everything you hear.
About your brand of charm, I mean.
Forewarned is forearmed, Miss...
Mrs.
Ah, what a pity. But nowadays, I understand that doesn't matter all that much. Well, Steed, what now?
I refuse to believe that you're not carrying a gun, Merlin, and so...
With a swift series of movements, Steed frisked the man and found...
Two guns. Two-gun Merlin, eh?
Yes. Was brought up on old-fashioned westerns. Care to shoot it out in the main street, Steed?
Too much traffic.
I see. Well, you now have the whole armory. What next?
I'm taking you in, Merlin. And where you're going to stay for a long, long time.
Oh, come now, Steed. On what basis can you possibly...
On the basis that you broke into a secret establishment and stole a capsule containing a newly developed sleeping gas. A knockout gas of extraordinary proportions. You've got the test samples.
Where's your evidence?
You came here expecting to sell that gas capsule. So I imagine you've brought the evidence with you. Do you mind putting your hands up? Thank you, Mrs. Peel.
Mrs. Peel moved in on Merlin and began searching his pockets.
Nothing so far.
So glad to see you haven't lost your touch, Steed. You're relentless and as thorough as ever. I've really got to take my hat off to you.
As he spoke, Jimmy Merlin reached up and removed his green felt hat. In the band of the hat was a glass capsule. Steed jerked his gun up, but too late. The capsule fell to the floor and shattered. A visible amount of gas swirled out.
Steed
lumbered forward to grab Merlin. Merlin jerked away and clamped his hat over his nose and mouth. Steed's eyes began to glaze. He started to sway and fell heavily. Merlin, laughing, muffled under his hat, dashed to the door. He opened it.
No!
But
no!
Mrs. Peel made one last desperate lunge. She hit the door, slamming it shut again, and then collapsed in a heap. Merlin grasped the door handle. Mrs. Peel's body was in the way. In using both hands, he was forced to drop his hat. Within seconds, he also succumbed to the fumes of gas and groaning fell to the floor. The telephone began to ring. But no one was awake to answer it. John Steed opened his eyes. They refused to focus. He was lying on the floor, that much he knew. He raised himself on one elbow with a great effort, clambered slowly to his feet, and staggered to the window. Hastily, he opened it. Steed breathed deeply a few times, and then turned to look back into the room. Mrs. Peel was curled up in front of the door, fast asleep. She was having a pleasant dream, a half-smile touching her lips. Alongside her was the form of Jimmy Merlin. He also appeared to be enjoying a deep, refreshing sleep. Steed glanced at his watch.
7 o'clock. But it's daylight. It can't be 7 in the evening.
Then he looked at the date panel.
21st. But it was the 20th when it all happened. The 21st? 7 in the morning of the 21st? We've lost nearly a whole day.
Steed moved over to Mrs. Peel and tried to rouse her.
Mrs. Peel. Mrs. Peel. Emma... Come on, wake up. Wake up. That's no good. Both out of the wine. The telephone. Operator? Operator? Oh. One thing is certain. I can't go off without Merlin. Now, let's see.
Steed opened his briefcase and removed a pair of handcuffs. He quickly snapped one round Merlin's wrist and the other round his own. Then he proceeded to slap Merlin's face until there was a vague, sleepy response.
Was...
Merlin, we're going to take a little ride.
Right.
You and I.
Don't worry, right. Want to sleep?
Just a short trip, you and me. I've got you and you aren't going to get away, so no more tricks.
Sleepy. Well, sleep.
You will, just as soon as I've got you tucked up in a nice, cozy little cell. Mm-hmm. All by yourself. Now, come on.
With a superhuman effort, Steed managed to drag Merlin to his feet and out of the door. They both stumbled down the flights of stairs and out into the roadway. The street was deserted, but Steed literally had his hands full. He hardly noticed. At length, they got to Steed's car.
Now, come on. Come on, here we are.
What the devil's all this about, Steed? Where are we going?
I told you. Surely you haven't forgotten already.
Yeah, still half asleep. Oh, yes, the capsule, I remember.
Well, just relax. If you're at all interested, you've slept since noon yesterday, and it's now 7 o'clock the next morning. Right, here. Get in and shift over to the far seat.
All right. Aye. See, we're joined together in something other than matrimony. These handcuffs really necessary, Steve?
In my opinion, yes. You're too canny to be left alone.
Speaking of being left alone, you're aware, Steve, that there's no one else in this market town of St. Catherine's. The place is quite deserted. Listen.
You're right. Not even the sound of traffic.
Something's happened, Steve. It's not me being canny. The whole thing's quite the reverse. It's very uncanny, indeed.
And with one last lurch, Sam Lacey finishes washing his dog in just 17 minutes, 45 seconds. Well done, Sam. Play any other sports?
I lift a pint of beer now and then.
You look very fresh, Sam. What deodorant do you use?
Shield for Sportsmen, of course.
Why?
It works.
Shield for Sportsmen deodorant won't stick, sting, or stain. In aerosol or roll-on, it's made to keep sportsmen cool and dry. Think what it can do for you.
No dirt can stand up to the cleaning power of cold water Omo. Mrs. Whelan had to wash greasy overalls.
And I said, oh, well, I won't worry. I'll stick it into cold water Omo, and sure enough, every bit of grease is out.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user.
The Avengers. Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Brought to you by the makers of Coldwater Omo. The Avengers. Donald Monat as John Steed and Diane Appleby as Emma Peel is adapted and directed by Dennis Faulbig and produced by David Gooden.